I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. Words by President Christ taken from the communion of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The last four words of today's communion verse, I think, remind us of a problem and of a little difficulty, actually a big difficulty, in the Christian life. For the life of the world, our blessed Lord says. Our Lord is the Savior of the world, and his death is for all mankind, not only for the elect, as Calvinism and as Jansenism said. Our Lord also says he is the light of the world. The bread of God, that it is that which cometh down from heaven and giveth life to the world. So we see this expression, the world. And at the same time, we know that the Holy Gospel and our Lord also teach that there is a fundamental opposition between the Spirit of Christ and the Spirit of the world. You find in Holy Scripture, in the New Testament, this opposition constantly being drawn. We are told that we are in the world, but not of the world. That we are supposed to bring the light of Christ to the world and not be affected by the spirit of the world ourselves. So there's this opposition. And we get it all the time in the Holy Gospel, the last Gospel of the Mass. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And then at the end, we see that in the life of our blessed Lord, that the powers of the world, with their own values, came together and tried to destroy our blessed Lord, and tried to destroy his message. So you see that very, very clearly. Our Lord also warned the church that she could expect the same. His opposition from the world and its values, this dichotomy. If the world hate you, know ye that it hateth me before you. And then St. John, the whole world is seated in wickedness. And then our Lord saying, think you that the Son of Man, when he comes, will find faith upon the earth. So the world and its spirit do not yield to Christ and his spirit. Indeed, this is one of the contradictions that we find, and one of the very poisonous changes that the Second Vatican Council tried to impose on the Catholic world. That, in effect, we were supposed to be open to the values of the world. This I remember, having lived through that particular era. This was the gospel, as it were, that was preached to us. That the windows of the church, as it were going to be opened, and that the church was to make an accommodation with the world, and to meet the world halfway. And the history of that particular period tells us very clearly what the effect of that was. That when you had this opening to the world and the acceptance of the values of the world, the values of Christ went out the window. And it was a pervasive mentality, I can assure you, from having lived through that particular period. And it affected everything, that there is no longer supposed to be this separation. You have all of these terrible consequences for that, the total decline in priestly vocations, where once there were dozens and dozens of priestly vocations, in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee, for instance, you get two, three, four, perhaps, a year, or in the effect of the values of the world on the religious life, the life of sisters. If you want a testament to that, to see how Vatican II affected that aspect of Catholic life, just go to a convent across the street from Father Wisher's old church, St. Lawrence, the Sisters of St. School Sisters of St. Francis of Lake Boulevard. They have no vocations. The sisters left in droves. They have only old sisters, and soon enough, the order will close down. That is the effect of adopting the spirit of the world. This too we see even in the post-Vatican II liturgy. We saw the secularization of liturgical music, how the secular songs and secular styles of music were brought into the sacred liturgy. That's something I remember very vividly. I was in a restaurant just a couple of days ago, and heard on the soundtrack a song called Suzanne by Leonard Cohen, who is a 60s musician and poet. And I associate that with the Novus Ordo. It was a secular love song. It was incorporated in the Novus Ordo. So you had all of these invasions. You had the idea of the opposition between the spirit of Christ and the spirit of the world, affect the sacred liturgy. All the many places, for instance, in the collects of the traditional Mass, where you had this dichotomy that, and the saintless places are modeled for admiration, because Turenne de Spicere, he despised or looked down upon the values of this world. All of those references were removed, completely removed from the new form of worship. So we see the disastrous effects of that, and we realize how much it is opposed to the doctrine of Christ and to the teaching of the fathers of the church. You see St. Augustine drawing the dichotomy between the city of God and the city of man. The church, it is true, has always been up against the spirit of the world, and when that has crept into her, there have been, of course, bad effects, but none perhaps as much as those that have followed the Second Vatican Council. What are we to do? There is the temptation among some people to separate themselves entirely from the world, to go off somewhere. We even see that a little bit in the traditional movement, people wanting to establish sort of cities of refuge somewhere else to go to. I know this has happened in the United States and other countries. You're supposed to go to a place like St. Mary's, Kansas or something to, preserve yourself from everything that's around you. But that is really not the mind and the mentality of the church. The idea is that we are supposed to be strong enough in the principles that we have as faithful Catholics to stand up to the spirit of the world, to recognize the evil and the temptation that it presents, and to do combat with it, first of all in ourselves, and secondly, more broadly as well. This will take for you to achieve this successfully, will take reflection and self-examination. Because we swim in a society which is increasingly secular, there's the danger all the time that we adopt its values, we adopt its weaknesses, we adopt its sins ourselves. And that is why As a faithful Catholic, you have to be sort of ruthless in your own examination of conscience and stand aside from yourself every day, and you look at your life and you see how much of this you, in fact, have accepted. And then you work very hard to purify yourself of the false values of the world. This will give you strength to practice your Catholic faith, and this will give you a basis to convert others and to bring the Spirit of Christ to others as well. So we have to realize what we are up against in the modern church and in the modern world. And constantly remind ourselves of this opposition. We examine our conscience, and then secondly, we do the best that we can to know our holy Catholic faith. It is knowledge that will arm you against the spirit and the values of the world. It is the knowledge of the Catholic faith and reflection on it that will give you, again, we always say, the glasses through which you want to look at everything that occurs around you. And thirdly, there is prayer and the sacraments. These are supposed to fortify you in the Christian's struggle with the values of the world. So be faithful to your prayers every day. Be faithful to worthy reception of the sacraments. Be faithful in going to a confession. And these will give you exactly the tools and the weapons that you need to carry on this battle for our Blessed Lord. The bread that I will give you, our Lord says, is my flesh for the life of the world. For the life of the world, and for your lives as Christians especially. Be faithful in receiving the Blessed Eucharist and in making use of the graces that you obtain through it. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.